Alright, folks, I've only ever done this once before, but I'm going to try to record a podcast while driving, which I think I can do fairly safely, and we'll see what happens. But the reality is, I need to get day two of the Rhodes invite out there to all you folks who are wanting it. In news of trying to create a podcast that can also be viewed, I have found the software today. Pretty easy to use. I think we can make it work, but the reality is I can't figure out how to make it work and get the podcast for this weekend out in timely fashion. So that I'm not late to practice, which is still kind of debatable, I'm going to record this bad boy as I drive. So here we go. Let's track the Trojans. Day two, Rhodes invite. So let's be fair. I get bored when I drive anyway. And these are just basically going to be the thoughts in my head as I drive with regards to this weekend's meet, which was fantastic. But before getting on to that, I do want to address getting the podcast up in video style as well. I don't want to go into competition with John Vlogs, but, you know, is what it is. You know, competition breeds success. So perhaps John, there's a world where John Vlogs and Tracking the Trojans video podcast coexist and both do well. Here's hoping, at least. But yeah, so discovered the software today. I'm really excited about it. It's going to provide an opportunity for myself and the other coaches to record collaboratively and be on screen together. So, for example, next week, while most all of us are in Birmingham, and Coach Laura and possibly Coach Brooke are in Raleigh with Lucas and Sammy, we'll be able to talk about that day's meet together, and I'll be on screen, and we're hoping it kind of turns into, you know, a pseudo discourse on how the races looked, providing the athletes with some feedback, and just, you know, once again, like I say, always say about this, peeling back the layers of, you know, what it's like to run for us, what it's like to run at the Division II level. And yeah, we'll always welcome questions. Apparently you can ask questions on these things, so if you ask them, maybe I'll answer them. We'll see. But let's get into this weekend. We are all mostly sunburned, which equals success. Rhodes, or any opening weekend, unless it was Bellarmine last year where it was a hurricane basically with some sleet, you're going to get that sunburn. It wasn't going to come on day one. The weather was gross. It was cloudy. It was rainy, but not windy. So we were grateful for that. There's always positives. But day two, not a cloud in the sky really at all. Not really any wind. I don't think there was any sprint or jump that would have seen a mark get ruled out for being illegally aided by the wind. So, yeah, great day. And let's take a look at it. We're just going to go up in event order, starting with the shortest running event, which now that we've moved on to outdoor, is the 100-meter dash. You know, moving from the 60 to the 100, it's a good test. I mean, it's 40 extra meters. There's no turn involved. You know, when you're thinking about, well, okay, people still have run the 200 indoor. It's a different thing when you have those turns, especially because they're tighter than your outdoor turns. So it was a good test to see where everybody was at. Now, granted, the open 100 was run after the 4x1, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. So it's not like everyone had ultra fresh legs, but you know, they were slightly warmed up, if you will. Leading the way was Zion Griffin, ran a time of 11.02. It was good enough for ninth. You know, the meet was not scored. I think we mentioned that on part one. So, you know, just outside of the points, if it had been scored, 11.02 is a great best open ever by a freshman. So, you know, there goes Zion continuing to do things nobody else has done. Khalil Stewart ran a massive PR with a time of 11.28. Grant Allen also with a, I believe I could be off on this one. See, this is why it's going to be great to have, you know, Laura recording these alongside me as well. I believe it's a PR over what he had previously done in high school, maybe. I could be making it up. Grant, if I am, throw it into the comments or... you know, you can lay into me on the band. Pablo opened his 100-meter account this spring with an 11.3, and Caden Nordhoff with a time of 11.7, obviously the first 100 he's ever run. So everybody under 12, which is good. Some folks threatening to get under 11 and some PRs. It's a great start for the group. In the 200, Zion led the way there as well with a 22.48, which is an all conditions PR for him as well. Grant with a time of 22.82, Isaac Timko with a time of 22.8, and Caden Nordhoff with a time of 23.9. Those were PRs for Isaac and Caden. I think Grant might have been just off. Grant, I don't know why, but for some reason, myself and having your times and your PRs all set up, forgive me. Once again, we have a comment section. Let me have it if I've been off. So the 200 went really well for this group. It is definitely not their first event of the day. Timko had a 400 in his legs. Most of this group had a 100-meter dash in their legs. And then they additionally also had the 4x1 wearing them down a little bit as well. So to have this kind of performance at the end of the day, I think it's a great testament to them and their fitness, but also a testament to Coach Laura's training and having these guys ready to go. Only had one guy running the 400 today, Isaac, Isaac Timko dropped a 50.57. Not his best, but about like 4 seconds faster than his open last year. So not complaining there. To be 4 seconds faster than you were at the outdoor open last year is fantastic. I think even Isaac would admit he learned a few things. Definitely we're approaching that race from a standpoint of not going out too fast. And I think he would tell you he might have gone out a little slower than he'd like. But that sub 50 is right around the corner for him, we have no doubt. Moving on to the 800, Caden Meeks, starting his collegiate outdoor career with a time of 210. Now, just a reminder for folks like Caden and Isaac, and then obviously Drew wasn't running this weekend, but he was with us. But for Caden and Isaac, it is the return home. It is running in front of that home crowd. So, you know, glad that these guys were able to race and glad that Caden's healthy and racing again and able to do that. And additionally, our other 800-meter runner, Dayton Wright, is also from Memphis. We have tried for a long time to get that 901 pipeline running, and I think it is starting to go. So Dayton Wright also showed up, ran well in his hometown with a time of 2:13. Which is a collegiate PR. I know mom was there. I'm not sure if dad was there as well. I know I saw mom, but I'm sure it was great for him to get a chance to run on the track and great for mom to see him competing collegiately on the track side of things after watching him this fall in cross. On the women's side in the 800, Reagan Health ran a 224.95. That was good enough for ninth. So once again, if the meet had been scored just outside, running a PR herself is just ever so barely, Maddie Patton with a time of 232.2. She had a huge day. We'll get to the other part of her day here in just a second. And Kendall Chapman, back from injury, missed a lot of the fall season and all of indoor with a time of 249. So she's got that mark, and we get to keep working down from there. Now, typically, if you are familiar with collegiate track and cross country or just track in general, once you hit the senior ranks and the older ranks, there is no more 1600 meter that stays in high school or in the DMR for indoor, so make whatever sense of that you will. And the mile itself is only at the indoor level, which once again, why it's all over the place is part of the reason people ask the questions they do about our sport, but we love it, so deal with it. But at this race, we run a open mile outdoors. Back in the day, prior to the 1500 becoming the thing, it was the true mile, which is actually just 9 meters more than four laps on the metric track. You know, we've got to throw in those standardized measurements, you know, somewhere, you know, to stay slightly American. And that is what the Rhodes Invite does. And we kind of do like the quirkiness. And one of the great things about Direct Athletics this year, which is the company that runs all the time and data reporting from the meets, they're providing conversions from events such as the mile, both indoor or if you run it outdoor, down into the 1500. So say if you're trying to get into an event like the Raleigh Relays and you're only going to run this 1 mile, well, if you're a guy and you run a 410 mile, well, that's going to convert to a 1500 that's faster than 4 minutes, which is the minimum entry standard for, say, Brian Clay. Bang, you're there. So it all works out. We know how to take care of each other in this sport. And we ran a lot of people in the mile. Leading the way for the men was Ben Carr with a time of 4:33.8. A little slower than what he wanted it, but he definitely stuck his nose out in it and went for it. I think he was going for around 4:25. Just wasn't there. But now he's consistently running low 4:30s, high 4:20s. that is just a good spot for him to be in as he progresses through his senior campaign. Next up was Joey Garcia. Now, most of our 5K folks came back and ran the mile. As the guy that coaches him directly, I had no expectation for these miles. I wanted to get out, wanted them to get out there, get in the pack, compete, and run hard. Really tough to ask everybody to run the fastest 5K of their lives and then come back about 16 hours later and do the same with the mile. So we're just looking for good competition and good hard running. Joey ran a time of 4:39.63, which I had seated him as 4:40, so we were smack on the mark with that one. Caden Meeks ran his longest distance since being back with a time of 4:45.37. Pretty sure he's happy with that one. Dayton Wright also ran the 1500 as well. Once again, guys, don't forget I'm driving. He didn't run the 1500. He ran the mile. Dayton ran the mile with a time of 5:04.2, which is improvement, you know, from indoor for sure. And then Joel White with a time of 5:09 and John Alsup with a time of 5:12. And don't forget, a lot of those guys I just read to you PR'd in the 5K the night before. So excellent efforts out of the men. On the women's side is kind of where we have like some serious fireworks going on. Sammy Roberts, if you remember, didn't make it all the way through to the finish of the 5K on Friday night, pulled out after about lap 8. And going into breakfast, from what I've been told, once again, this is why it'll be great to have Brooke on the podcast. Going into breakfast, I wasn't really sure if she was going to run the mile or just get a good long run in. She ended up running the mile. She ended up ripping a 5:13, which is 12 seconds faster than her PR. It is a Trevecca all-time outdoor school record for the mile. Once again, we don't run it a ton, but the likes of Caroline Hampton, Biz McClendon, you know, athletes of the bygone eras, had run this event at Rhodes and had run it pretty quick, and Sammy did thunder it. She only has about 4 seconds to go to get the all-time record, and don't forget, she's got indoor eligibility next year, so my guess is she's going to go for that and she's going to get it. So exciting to see how she did. She finished second overall in the mile, so that would have been a solid 8 points if there were 8 points to get. Ashley Alsvig came back and ran a 5:35, not too terribly far off her PR. But once again, ran another sub-19 5K the night before. Reagan Helt with a time of 5:37, which was the PR. Maddie Patton with another massive PR of 5:39. Emmy Mattingly just narrowly missing the PR, but her second mile under 6 with a time of 5:59.95. It's that consistency that's going to breed the breakthrough down the road. So excited with that. And Catherine Williams with a time of 6:09, rounding out our milers. So we're really excited with how they ran for the Mile 800 group. That was their first run of the day. And for the 5Kers, it was their second run of the meet, and I know they were glad to be done and go slog those long cool down miles that they typically get at the end of day two. In the 110 hurdles, we had several folks going. Jaden Hickman opened up his college account with a time of 17.41. Dina Willoughby on the women's side led the way with a 19.4, and Campbell Johnson with a 20.7. Don't forget, most of you don't know, but just letting everyone know, Campbell, Nina, and Dayton Floyd will be competing in the multi this weekend at Lee. Excited to see how they're going to do. So I got to brush up on those hurdle skills this past weekend at Rhodes. In the 400-meter hurdles, we had quite the contingent on the men's side. Lucas Baggett got rolling with a 54.17, his fastest open. He won, led the way, looked really good over the hurdles, and excited for what's down the road for him. 100% in the Raleigh relays here in a couple weeks, and looking at a 400 potentially this weekend at least. So he's out, he's quick. I believe he informed me this morning that he is currently sitting at 14th in the nation. We will take it. Dayton Floyd ran his first ever 400-meter hurdle in a time of 58.5 for fifth place. That's good for a guy that didn't touch the hurdles in high school to be running a sub-60 400-meter hurdle. That's impressive. Dude's an athlete. And then Jaden Hickman also coming back from those 110 hurdles, ran a 59.0, good enough for sixth place. So, you know, we joke about it being hurdle U. It's a thing. Like, we've got it going, and to have three guys sub 60, one guy win the race, That's a good day in the 400 meter hurdles. Once again, that's a lot of points if they were scoring this meet. I hope everybody's getting the drift that I wish this meet was scored. And on the women's side, Shanae DeVere ran a 111.87, not too far off her PR. I know she is her fiercest competitor and wishes she was a little quicker, but she looked good and smooth over the hurdles. I think she's going to destroy that PR as we go throughout the season. We did get our 4x1 going this weekend with Caden Nordhoff leading the way, heading off to Dayton, Floyd to Khalil, running that third leg, and then Zion Griffin was the final leg. Ran a time of 43.46, which is a good bit off what we wanted to do. But you know what? The baton got all the way around the track. And if you are familiar with our program, and if you remember from a few years back, we got it around the track once in six tries. So we are already tied for our worst year, and things will continue to go up. I think the only little hiccup we had, we had a rough exchange on the last exchange, and I know Coach Laura is going to work with the order and who's running it this next weekend, you know, as we look forward towards meets like Brian Clay here in the future, where we are going to run a 4x1, and we hope it is ultra competitive. But happy with the guys for getting the baton around the track. I know we're going to be able to build from there and put something great together. In the 4x4, solid effort put together by it was Dayton Floyd, Isaac Timko, Ben Carr, and Luke Spaggett, not in that order. They ran a time of 324.31, which I think is the outdoor record, but not as fast as we have run all time. So we did not put that in our all-time school record slot for the week, which we did have two this weekend. Excuse me. So they finished third, and honestly, Lucas almost pulled off the win. He was in third when he got the baton and then dropped a 48.3 to actually, I think, just get the lead for a brief moment, but kind of ran out of gas right there at the end, which if you're running a 48.3, that can happen, especially if it is not your first race of the day, and it was definitely not his. So excellent effort for him with regards to the 4x4, and a great job by the whole group. It's a good start for the team. Nina Willoughby and Campbell Johnson, high jump, both of them no-heighted. It's tough when you're not able to practice. So ultimately, we kind of look at it as preparation for what's coming here this next weekend as we compete in the multi at Lee. So lots to learn from. They got lots of video. I know we're going to do well this weekend. In the long jump, we had Dayton Floyd jumping 6.26 meters, finishing fourth. Once again, remember, he was splitting time with that 4x1. And then we let Elijah Nicholson, who is a thrower, but crazy athletic, we let him into the long jump, had minimal practice, still jumped almost 6 meters. His last jump probably would have been over six. He just scratched, but had a best jump of 5.89, made finals, but was busy with his disc responsibilities during that time, but super happy with what we saw from him. And Aaron Barreto had a jump of 5.74 as well. Decent day for him. In the triple jump, Francesco Messina made the finals, jumped 12 meters, and Aaron had no distance, which as I'm saying this, I am remembering that that was a day one event. So for anybody that forgot and wanted to remember, Francesco jumped 12 meters, and Aaron, unfortunately, no distance on that one. We're going to get this pulled together. But like I said, I didn't want to not get this podcast done like what happened with day two of conference. So just like podcasting the raw, basically. We're just going for it here. In the shot put, our Janice Paredes PR'd with a throw of 11.3 meters. And dude was like pushing 12. I think he would have had about 12 meters on his last throw, but just barely had a hand get out ahead of him and land outside of the circle and touch the concrete. So that was a foul. Kendall Chenault had a throw of 10.6 meters, and Brianna DeLauder had a throw of 7.22 meters. And a first in Trevecca history, Jada Marstella threw the seated shot put, which basically it's a shot put where she is seated in a chair that is anchored to the ground. And she became Trevecca's first para Olympic athlete ever. I believe her best throw was right around 4.13, give or take, which is just off of her high school PR. So she hasn't thrown in 2 years. big shout out to generous donors who made it possible for us to not only purchase a chair, but purchase a purple chair, which looks amazing. Shout out to Coach Robert Shankman and Matt DeCita at Rhodes College for allowing her to get there before the meet and throw. It is not an NCAA sanctioned event, but we can record her marks for Paralympic purposes. So, you know, no meet director has to allow that to happen. So I appreciate them for allowing them in. Shout out to Dylan and Kendall and Brianna and Molly and Jace, who helped Jaden get her chair set up. And shout out to everyone on the team who showed up to support Jaden as well. We are looking forward to seeing her throw more in the future. She will throw again at Lee this coming weekend. The officials are aware of it there as well. She will throw at Bellarmine. We're not 100% sure about her throwing at Alabama Birmingham on the in-between, but we're looking to get her as many opportunities as possible. She's a great addition to the team, and we're so very happy that she was able to throw for us this weekend wearing the Trojan purple and white. And then rounding it all out was the disc. Our Jenis Paredes PR'd again. Man is on a tear, folks, with a throw of 33.86 meters. And Elijah Nicholson throwing his first collegiate disc with a throw of 31.94. On the women's side, Campbell Johnson, who is one of those, here's one of those inside stories. I was not supposed to put her in the disc when we were doing registration. We were going to drift away from that this year, but I did. And she went and she threw a PR, 32.45 meters. So, of course, Dylan wants me to make her a full-time thrower already again, but, you know, that's what we love about Campbell. If you ask her to do it, she's just going to go give it full effort, and she did. Kendall Chenault had a best throw of 32.12, and Brianna DeLauder threw a throw of 25.8 meters. I think that covers it. And I'll have a few minutes to change and get ready for practice when I pull up here in a second. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Super proud of the team this weekend. I think it worked out to 22 or 23 PRs, two school records. And now we are getting reset and reloaded for Lee this weekend. Excited to go to a future conference opponent. They have a phenomenal track. Caleb Morgan has a great program, runs a good meet, always has great competition there. So excited to go there, not too far of a drive. Hoping for some really great performances there and looking forward to our multi-athletes getting things going. Like I said, we are going to try to get this video podcast going. We're going to make it collaborative with as many coaches as we can get on it at a time. We will additionally be putting out a mini podcast / YouTube video for Giving Day, which is coming up on the 22nd. I'm going to record a short video. I'm going to ask you athletes that are listening to it or any parents that are listening to it to get this YouTube video out there. I'm trying to raise the last little bit of funds for the back end of the season. We're two Bridgestone events short this year, so a little behind where we like to be with our fundraising, but I know our people will come through for us. So more info on that as we get through the weekend. Thank you so much for tracking the Trojans with us. We're excited for this season. And just to let everybody know, I've made it to practice safely and pulled this bad boy off. Take care. Thanks for listening.